Thank you and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome and thank you for your participation in today's conference call of Südzucker AG. As mentioned in the invitation, the underlying presentation has been published this afternoon on our homepage. Mr. Pörksen and Mr. Kölbl will make reference to the respective pages of this presentation. Today, we release the report for the financial year ending 28th of February, 2021. We are going to explain the highlights of this year and give details about the guidance for the current financial year 2021-2022. We are happy to take your questions following the presentation of our CEO and CFO. A recording of this call will be available on our homepage for those who are not able to participate. Now, I would like to hand over to Mr. Pörksen. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to welcome all of you to our analyst conference 2021. Due to the corona pandemic, we have to perform this meeting virtually again. Sorry for that. On page three, let me quickly put some light on key topics that have or will keep us busy. 2020 and 2021 was an interesting, exciting, but also a challenging year. Despite the corona pandemic, I had the chance to gather a very good company insight. Additionally, I was glad to conduct many conversations with our employees that helped me to get a good understanding about their needs and ideas. Our intense discussion within the framework of Strategy 2026+ significantly contributed in this regard as well. As already announced in last year's meeting, in the meanwhile, we have adapted our group strategy. Although the strategy process is not yet fully concluded, later on, I will provide you with some insight in the results achieved so far. This is also true for the topic of sustainability, which is closely linked to it. Digitalization is another important topic for Südzucker. It is a challenge as well as an opportunity at the same time for us. In the future, even more, it will become a major focus topic. Therefore, we are very glad to have Helen Arnold on board, our new executive board member. She joined Südzucker beginning of May after 25 years of SAP experience. She will be responsible for IT, digitalization, and for the newly created cluster of consumer market, consisting of Freiberger, Beneo, and PortionPack Europe. At this point, let me stress, we as executive board are very proud about what has been achieved, especially together with the high commitment of our employees in these very difficult corona pandemic times. At any point in time, we have been able to fulfill our important duty as food supplier to customer and end consumers. We are well aware about the individually very high burden over this period, which is not yet over. In this situation, our employees had to cope with both professional and private challenges, which they managed extremely well. The balancing between job and family led many to their stress limits. Therefore, we want to say thanks for your commitment, for the commitment of our employees in these difficult times. Okay, so now let's move to slide number five and focus on the business year 2020-2021 with a short overview. In this presentation, Mr. Kölbl, as always, will talk about respective details afterwards. Group revenue reached 6.7 billion euros and came in on last year's level. Revenue in segment CropEnergies decreased moderately and in segment Fruit slightly. Segment Sugar showed revenues on last year level, and segment Specialty Products came in slightly above previous year's level. I want to emphasize especially the segment Sugar significantly reduced losses. In this light, operating group results significantly increased to 236 million euros. A moderate operating results decrease in segment Fruit was more than compensated by slight earnings improvements in segment Specialty Products and CropEnergies. As already mentioned, Mr. Kölbl will elaborate more in detail afterwards. Let's go to the segments and start with page number eight. and the segment sugar. One of the main targets of the 2019 restructuring plan was to focus on the European sugar market. Therefore, an adjustment of our factory and administrative structure was necessary. On the one hand, the structural EU sugar market surplus has been reduced. On the other hand, our cost structure has been improved. As of now, the restructuring plan was successfully executed. Additionally, we have identified further optimization opportunities. They are already partially in execution, leading to further improvements. Original and additional measures, as well as our group strategy, are building on each other. Besides this, we have been confronted with additional charges. For example, a corona-driven lower sugar demand in light of cancelled events, holidays, as well as lower factory utilization due to harvest failures. Especially the ongoing drought and the increasing pest infestation were challenges to our farmers. These factors stood against the improved EU and world sugar market environment, marked by an ongoing deficit situation. In this context, including the executive board intention, we take this into account and position ourselves in sugar even more powerful. Due to a leaner structure and processes, the new division sugar will act even more efficient and therefore will help to reach earning improvements even quicker. Let's move to the segment special products, starting with Beneo on page 10. Beneo creates functional food solutions. Due to this global reach, it is sales partner of many Südzucker divisions and excellent starting position to raise further group synergies. 2020 and 2021 showed a continued trend towards healthy nutrition. Beneo serves this trend, for example, via chicory-based fibers, probiotic rice starches, and plant-based proteins. Based on organic raw material, those ingredients are used in a wide range of food products, such as dairy products, cereals, bakery products, or baby food and bread spreads. We are convinced that the underlying positive demand situation at Beneo is only temporarily showing some difficulties for some parts of the business. Therefore, we will stick to the pre-corona decision to invest into the capacity expansion in the next couple of years, for example, at our German site in Offstein. On page 11, I will elaborate on our successful pizza business. Following another successful year, we move forward in integrating Richelieu sites in the U.S., identified and executed optimization measures support the positive business development in this market. It was possible to increase sales volume in all markets, but partially pandemic-driven. The ongoing positive volume development in the EU and USA confirm our chosen route to continue the initiated capacity expansion. Besides this, we have worked on the assortment mix and pushed new distribution channels. Let's continue with division starch on page 12. Based on different raw material sources, we produce starches, saccharification products, ethanol, as well as respective byproducts. These are used for different technical appliances, food and feed products. Also, the corona pandemic had a partially negative influence, especially on native and modified starches. Overall, we were able to achieve a sales volume increase in the main product categories. Additionally, we are pleased about the overall production increase for starches and saccharification products. Hence, step by step, we are able to improve utilization rates of newly built capacities. CapEx of 400 million euros between 2013 and 2019 secures sustainable growth in the upcoming years. On page 13, we come to the last division within this segment, special products, portion pack. Portion pack is focused on the so-called HoReCa area, comprising hotels, restaurants, and catering. As they are strongly influenced by the corona pandemic, Porsche and PEC had to face an environment which was hit the most. The strongly burdened out-of-the-home business showed a significant decrease in sales volumes. Against this background, there was a strong focus on cost management. Besides this, the portfolio enlargement on the access to new customer groups were forced. We have learned over the period of several lockdowns that on the one hand, Porsche articles were strongly hit in the shutdown phases, but recovery strongly thereafter in times of easing restrictions. Continuing on page 15, as leading European producer of renewable ethanol for the fuel sector, CropEnergy strongly contributes to a greenhouse gas reduction in the transportation sector mainly. Additional products of our subsidiary of the production of neutral alcohol, high protein food and feed products, as well as the liquefaction of CO2. In 2020-2021, CropEnergy partially dedicated its neutral alcohol production for the disinfection market. This was an important contribution to help in the corona pandemic. Also, the corona pandemic dominated almost all topics in the public debate. Discussions about climate were reinforced over the course of the last 12 months. This development was fueled by the return of the USA to the Paris Climate Agreement. In this context, we see a strong increase in demand of CO2-reduced fuels that significantly contribute to EU and UK climate targets. In parallel to last year's development, it seems as the announced easing of travel restrictions lead to step-by-step easing of the overall mobility restrictions over the course of the year. We think that this will lead to a significant increase in demand for ethanol as a blend to fossil fuel. Let me conclude the segmental overview talking about the segment fruit on page 17. Target markets for fruit preparations are especially dairy products, ice cream, baked goods, and food services. These are still marked by several main consumer trends, mainly naturalness, healthy indulgence, and convenience. Additionally, growth opportunities are indicated by trend towards plant-based products in the non-dairy sector we target to exploit too. In the more trading-oriented and therefore more volatile fruit juice concentrates business, especially in regard to apple juice concentrates, we had to face a sales volume decrease. This was mainly due to the hesitant signing of fruit juice concentrates customer contracts in autumn 2020 alongside the renewed lockdown phase. The started cost-cutting program will be continued and helps to address the reduced earning levels. Ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, the corona pandemic keeps us busy in 2021 and 2022 as well. Also, we are convinced about a reduced relevance over the course of the year. I would like to take the opportunity to stress that priority number one is and will stay the health of our employees. Early and extensive measures introduced by the Executive Board have proven throughout the entire year, and hence we were in a position at any time to protect our employees' health. Besides this, we, as part of the critical infrastructure, were able to fulfill our social responsibility. Since the start of corona pandemic, Südzucker has been functional and able to constantly deliver needed products. Again, we want to say thanks to our employees. They were ready to run additional shifts to cover the additional demand for pizza, sugar or ethanol for disinfection purposes. Additionally, a high degree of compliance to our protection measures such as hygienic and distance rules has been adhered. In practical implementation, we observed many cases of extraordinary creativity. On page 21, we will focus on some selected topics within the political frame with importance to Südzucker. As a company, the political framework in the markets in which we are present has a certain influence. This is especially true for politics in the areas of nutrition and agriculture. These framework conditions in different magnitude have a direct impact on the market environment for segment sugar, special products, crop energies, and fruit. Especially in the areas of nutrition and agriculture, there are currently efforts to further increase the regulatory density. In light of the Green Deal and according to the Common Agriculture Politics from 2022 onwards, the newly elected EU Commission has given direction about the usage of fertilizers and crop protection. Furthermore, it addresses organic farming and future distribution of agricultural payments. As processor of agricultural raw materials, our competitiveness is strongly linked to the upstream value chain. We support a further development towards an even more sustainable agriculture, but having said that, we asked for a sense of proportion in order to keep the planned measures implementable and the farmers competitive, at least within the EU. The sustainability term, according to the EU, does not only comprise pure ecological agricultural topics. It also addresses in the Green Deal framework the farm-to-fork strategy that highlights aspects of nutrition politics, such as rules for food labeling, plans to fight food waste and food advertisement, as well as establishment of nutritional profile maximum limits for single ingredients. Thereby, it is clear to us and scientists there is no good or bad food, but healthy and unhealthy nutrition. Only combined with sufficient exercise, it is key to prevent illnesses. A stigmatization of single ingredients, such as sugar, does not help at all. What we need as a society is a holistic approach instead of simple-sounding solutions. Suitable to this issue, in the past years, several EU countries have introduced taxes or levies for manufacturers and sugar beverages. Globally, many countries introduced sugar taxes, leading to lower sales of taxed products. However, there are no studies to prove respective reduction in obesity. We attentively monitor these various nutritional policy developments. They are considered in our business decisions. Good, ladies and gentlemen. Starting with page 23, I will now show you one of the most important topics that will point the way into the Südzucker future, the Strategy 2026 Plus, and the closely connected topic sustainability. We present our vision for the future group Strategy 2026 Plus, which builds on our strengths as a diversified group of companies, on our employees' expertise and experience. With this program, Südzucker Group has set some ambitious goals and launched a progressive transformation process. Our strategy's time horizon emphasizes a forward-looking, long-term approach to thinking and acting. We want to change Südzucker Group from a large-scale agricultural processor to a leading partner of plant-based solutions for an enjoyable, healthy, and sustainable world. You will find the identified core elements on page 24. They contain five strategic directions. Before getting to the content, I will give you an idea about where we are in the overall process. 1 year ago, I announced a group strategy review. This process has been started mid of 2020. Following the process preparation and drafting work, implementation has been started. The embedding and necessary transformation will be executed in the course of financial year 2021-2022. Therefore, already at this point, I would like to ask for your understanding and patience that it is too early at the current stage to talk about detailed numbers. But I can promise you that we will see already in financial year 2021-2022 first positive impulses from the strategy process. Let me refer to additional detailed information and presentation of this topic in our annual report, as I will not be able to go into it due to time restrictions. Our new guiding principle forms the basis of our strategy and defines the framework for Südzucker Group's further development. We will be more customer-focused, more innovative, more sustainable, and even more consistently geared towards profitable growth. The five defined strategic directions have been underpinned by respective strategic targets. They show the way how we want to achieve the addressed transformation from the large-scale agriculture processor to a leading partner of plant-based solutions for a livable, healthy, and sustainable world. These five strategic directions have been underpinned by concrete focus initiatives, which I'm going to show you right now on page 25. The initiatives include a consistent alignment of activities in regard to customers and target markets, and one of the outcomes here is also the new setup of our board divisions. It includes an improved competitiveness and customer benefit via usage of segmental synergies on group level. The full usage of all group purchase offices from one source. A better know-how transfer via installation of unit business excellence. The implementation of a group-wide innovation strategy support by unit new business development. A consistent sustainability strategy. The strengthening of our HR strategy with important topics like diversity. And last but not least, via reinforcement of the IT and digitalization transformation that has been strongly emphasized with the executive board enlargement and appointment of Mrs. Arnold. Let's take it a step further on page 26 and have a look into the Südzucker's engine room. Proteins are a future megatrend with no doubt, and it will create numerous blockbuster products. A growing world population asks for more proteins in our nutrition. Sources are limited, especially for animal-based proteins. Alternative plant-based protein sources are an attractive growth area. Consumer poll shows a majority of 56% accepts plant-based proteins. There is a high motivation based on sustainability, animal welfare, and conservation of resources. Another future megatrend can be observed on page 27, the so-called bio-based chemicals. Opportunities for bio-based chemicals and products have increased significantly, especially through external factors like climate change and stronger focus on sustainability issues. Corresponding measures have been taken by politics, for example, climate protection law or the EU Green Deal. Decarbonization has been already started in the energy and transportation sector by extension of renewable energy usage. Also, in material use, there is the necessity to switch from fossil to renewable raw material sources. But the decarbonization is hardly possible as a majority of chemical products is carbon-based. There is no sustainable chemical industry without switching to renewable carbon as raw material. As processor of renewable raw materials such as sugar beets, chicory, rice, corn, potatoes, and wheat, Südzucker is as close as possible to a wide variety of carbon sources. To produce bio-based chemicals, we use carbon tied up in plants as CO2 or from fermentation from established processes, for example, ethanol production. At the same time, we ensure a further long-term tie-up of greenhouse gas CO2. Additionally, Südzucker does understand about biotechnological production procedures, procedures of enzymatic and chemical catalyst, and procedures of technical chemistry to produce chemical-based material and biopolymers. Now I'm going to explain to you our key pillars of our digitalization strategy on page 28. As in the overall strategy approach, customers, processes, and our corporate culture is in the center. To be prepared for the future, we need highly efficient business processes. These have to be lean, quick, and simple. Already today, Südzucker act very efficient and flexible. For years, Südzucker uses a flexible and efficient production, connected production sites, or digital production processes. Another example is our connected logistic network. We use our Beet2Go platform within a smart and connected ecosystem to get the sugar beet into the factory under real-time control. Besides this, market and customer-based innovations offer an enormous potential for value creation on consumer and customer level. We want to take decisions much closer to a quickly changing market environment to exploit new products and business areas together with our business partners. In this regard, it is essential to use a sustainable innovation process via digital tools and data to obtain a better view about customer and market trends. We will support an even stronger culture of collaboration amongst our employees. Digital tools are indispensable to achieve this goal. Our Südzucker Catalyst program will help, and it will strengthen the cooperation across all business units in a systematic way, leading to a more open and more flexible cooperation culture. In short, our focus on digitalization will secure a successful Südzucker future development, and 2021 is of special importance as it will serve the new strategy 2026 plus with a technology base. This is how Südzucker will become more agile and more sustainable. And this is a good segue to the last slide I want to show on page 29. It shows a theme that is closely linked to strategy 2026 plus. It is sustainability. Since the beginning, sustainability is part of the Südzucker DNA. Having said that, we are convinced that we can and want to do more about it and communicate proactively, we claim not just to fulfill further growing requirements of all stakeholders besides legal obligations, but to formulate our own targets and aspirations. This is the reason why we have put a special emphasis on focus the team sustainability. The initiated strategy process behind the targeted sustainability initiative is scheduled for completion by mid-2021. The process aims to create concrete objectives for the individual group strategy action items, which are intended to serve as a basis for further work on sustainability, both at the group level as well as within the various divisions, and to integrate sustainability criteria into decision-making processes, also leading to continuously improving on sustainability ratings. The next step will be to utilize these objectives to outline concrete actions and initiatives, which will then be integrated into Südzucker's sustainability roadmap and published within the next 12 months. One of those will be the topic of EU taxonomy regulations. At this point, I would like to thank you and for your attention and hand over to my colleague, Thomas Goebel.
Thank you, Nils. Ladies and gentlemen, also from my side, a warm welcome to all of you. As to reserve enough time for the following Q&A session, I will refer only to selected pages of the presentation, but I will guide you through marking the page number I'm talking about. We start with the executive summary on page 31. As you can see on this slide, we have reached all of our communicated targets for business year 2021. But it's also fair to say that we had to adjust in December 2020 our original targets set on a pre-corona basis in April 2020. Let's move on to page 32. Business year 2021 marks the expected turning point in regard to financial ratios, especially the leverage position. EBITDA has been significantly improved to around 600 million euro, while CapEx spending was reduced. As a result, structural cash flow was boosted from 143 to over 300 million euro. The overall improvement was led by segment sugar, the initiated turnaround leading back into positive EBITDA territory after two very difficult years. Our non-sugar activities showed an enormous resilience in a strongly challenging corona pandemic environment, confirming the high EBITDA pre-year level. Finally, as mentioned by Nils Perksen, on the one hand, the original restructuring plan 2019 was successfully executed. On the other hand, we continue identifying and executing on additional measures. We are also happy with our solid and very sound debt maturity profile. Let's move on to page 33 and the outlook. Also in fiscal 21-22, we continue to build on a strong, profitable non-sugar business as reliable fundament. In addition to this, segment sugar will continue its turnaround with an expected operating profit delta of more than 150 million euro, leading the group result into an expected range of 300 to 400 million euro. As of now, despite the corona-driven high volatility, we are satisfied about a solid start into the new business year. Over the course of the year, we expect a normalization of sales volumes. Last year, we announced the leverage phase. In 21-22, we will continue this path and reaffirm it. Net financial debt is expected to drop significantly. Consequently, all financial ratios, especially those relevant for defining the credit rating, will improve further, supporting our investment grade rating. Let's move on to page 35 and the segmental overview for business year 2021. As already mentioned, turnaround in segment sugar has been started, helped by higher sugar prices from October 20 onwards. Our non-sugar activities had another very successful year, confirming the already very good earnings level, especially special products and crop energies. 2020-21 was another year in which our diversification strategy paid off. Let's move on to page 37. The result from restructuring and special items was mainly driven by expenses from the follow-up effects of the sugar segment's plant closures decided at the end of the fiscal 18-19 and from the adjustments of administrative structures. Also included are expenses related to regional restructuring from ongoing cost savings program in the fruit segment. The equity result was mainly driven by the negative contribution from the EDNF Man participation. Also, EDNF Man continued to report a profitable trading business. Charges related to the delayed strategic realignment caused by the corona pandemic led to a net loss. The equity result comprises especially the net loss for the year attributable to Südzucker and the complete write-off of the goodwill. As stated in our ad hoc release in November 20 and explained in the quarter 3 report, the carrying amount of the shares of EDNF Man of 224 million euro dropped to 82 million euro. Let's take the next stop on page 38. The increase of the negative overall financial result is mainly driven by a complete write-down of a minority interest in a French sugar factory in H1, which was subsequently sold before the end of the fiscal year. The taxes paid relate mainly to the taxation of the positive result contribution of the non-sugar segments, whereas deferred taxes were not capitalized for the losses in the sugar segment. Let's continue on page 49. In segment special products, revenues grew by 3%, supported by an overall positive sales volume development and overall higher sales prices. Also, already on a high level, it was possible to slightly increase operating results. Individual products, such as frozen pizza in particular, benefited from the measures taken to contain the spread of the coronavirus, while other product groups, such as portion packs for HoReCa, were significantly impacted. Let's continue on page 15. Financial year 21-22, we see a continuation of the positive sales development leading to moderately higher revenues. Earnings are expected to decrease moderately. This is due to partially lower sales revenues, higher costs, and lower contribution from ethanol in light of lifted grain prices. Let's continue with segment Crop Energies on page 52. In fiscal 2021, segment Crop Energies had to face a moderate decrease in revenues due to lower production and sales volumes despite higher ethanol prices. Higher ethanol sales prices were not enough to lift the revenues, but enough to slightly exceed the already high pre-year earnings level. The result was achieved against negative impacts from lower sales volumes and higher net raw material costs. Let's continue on page 53. On this graph, we illustrate two things. First, the continuous positive underlying upward trend in ethanol pricing over time. And second, the enormous distortion and increase in price volatility in the corona pandemic environment. We clearly see the price distortion as temporary. The underlying fundamentals, like the reaffirmed climate debate, have not changed at all. Also, you can see that the second price drop was not as strong as the first one within the corona pandemic. The recovery since then has been pronounced and spread a lot of optimism for further positive development throughout business year 21-22. Especially, the increased momentum in vaccination quotas already lead to regional reopenings combined with an easing of current mobility restrictions. Let's continue on page 54 with the outlook for 21-22. For the current fiscal, we see higher revenues in light of an expected high capacity utilization. Earnings are expected to decrease. Prudence about ethanol pricing, and mainly expecting significantly higher net raw material costs, putting some pressure on the high margin level. Let's continue on page 56. Segment Fruit realized only a slight decrease in revenues despite the challenging corona pandemic environment. This was helped by overall higher sales prices, but burdened by overall lower sales volumes. The earnings decrease was mainly caused by Division Fruit Juice Concentrates, whilst Division Fruit Preparations showed a profit increase, mainly driven by cost savings. Let's continue on page 57. Financial year 21-22, we see for the food segment a moderate revenues and earnings increase. It should be achieved via volume increase and further cost decrease in Division Fruit Preparations and stable revenues and higher margin in Division Fruit Juice Concentrates. Let's continue with segment Sugar on page 16. Revenues in last fiscal in segment Sugar came in on previous level. Sugar sales revenues were higher, but volumes were substantially lower due in part to reduced sugar production during the 2019 and 2020 campaign. In 2019, sugar production was down due to less cultivation and lower yields. In 2020, sugar production fell again following the factory shutdowns after the 2019 campaign, with beet yields again weak. In addition, lower demand from the sugar processing industry due to the corona pandemic containment measures had a significantly greater impact than the short-term positive effects of rehoarding in the retail sector at the beginning of the fiscal year in spring 2020. Operating loss was substantially reduced. The improvement was driven mainly by higher sugar sales revenues due to price increases at the beginning of the 2019-20 and 2020-21 sugar marketing years, which more than offset lower sales volumes, higher production costs, and lower capacity utilization as a result of the smaller cultivation areas and below average beet yields during the 2020 campaign. Continue on page 61. Let me revisit our view on the global sugar market. In its latest update in March 2021, AHS Market, formerly FO Licht, has increased its deficit outlook for running sugar marketing year 2021 from 3.8 to 4.3 million tons, which confirms another deficit year. The stock-to-use ratio is expected to drop from 40.5 to 38.0%. For next sugar marketing year 21-22, the forecast shows a balanced market with another drop of the stock-to-use ratio down to 37.4%. This, ladies and gentlemen, confirms a positive fundamental market environment for at least the next 18 months. Let's have a look at the European sugar market environment on page 62. The EU has changed into a net importer status since campaign 2018, which has led already to two steps of price increases in the last two sugar marketing years. There are several reasons for the most recent positive European spot price development. First, the world market price as the fundamental pricing starting point has increased significantly in the last couple of months. Second, despite a moderate EU acreage decrease, sugar production is expected to modestly increase, maintaining the European as a net importer status. Third, also in this spring sugar sowing season, there have been disruptions, such as severe frost damages, which raise some question marks about the original EU expectations. In this environment, up to 100% of our sales volume of the campaign 2021 is up for negotiation. Let's take a look at the sugar outlook for 21-22 on page 63. We are optimistic to continue the started turnaround of segment sugar in financial year 21-22. We see a significant revenues and earnings increase. The revenue increase should be fueled by the explained positive market environment, helped by higher production, higher sales volumes, and higher prices. EBITDA already turned into black figures in 2021. Operating result is expected to follow into positive territory in 21-22 as well. However, we continue to expect low losses for the first half year of 21-22, as higher prices since October 2020 will be offset, among other things, by higher raw material costs. From October 2021, we expect rising sales revenues in a brightening market environment and further material cost savings from the restructuring completed to date, as well as associated follow-up measures and projects. This should then lead to positive operating earnings both in the second half and for full fiscal year 21-22 as a whole, despite steadily increasing raw material costs. Let me now summarize the overall group outlook and the presentation on the following pages, starting with page 65. Group revenues should come in at 7.0 to 7.2 billion euro and operating result in a range between 300 to 400 million euro. We want to stress again that vaccination rates against COVID-19 are expected to increase steadily worldwide with wide regional disparities. The economic impact of the virus is thus expected to wane over time, notwithstanding the positive outlook that will continue to be corona pandemic-related risks in fiscal 21-22. The economic and financial impact and duration of this disease are difficult to assess. Let me also repeat that we have seen a solid start into business year 21-22. Over the course of the year, with the easing of restrictions, we expect a normalization of sales volumes. Now, to the segments in particular, segment sugar should see a slightly negative H1 and a positive H2 operating performance. On full-year basis, we expect an earnings range between 0 to 100 million euro. Segment special products operating result is expected to come in moderately below the high prior level. Segment CropEnergies operating result is expected to range between 50 to 80 million euro. Segment fruit should be able to see a moderate earnings increase. Let me continue with page 66. Group EBITDA should follow the positive operating result development. CapEx with 330 million euro should stay on Moody's level. Net financial debt is expected to be significantly reduced. Let me summarize the overall outlook and the presentation on pages 68 and 69. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to summarize my presentation with three statements also in regard to the midterm development. First, turnaround sugar is due to continue driving group earnings improvement. Second, started deleverage phase gains further momentum. Third, strategy 2026 plus sets the base for sustainable, successful group development. On page 69, last page of the presentation, we would like to visualize the most important key driver, the structural cash flow. The development confirms the expected enlargement of Südzucker's room to maneuver. It secures the way to actively shape Südzucker's future, especially in conjunction with Strategy 2026 Plus. Thank you all for your attention.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. Let me hand back to the operator to open up the floor for your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wants to ask a question may press star followed by one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. The first question is from the line of Alex Sloan, Barclays. Your question, please.
Hi, good afternoon all. Thanks for taking the questions. I've got two, please. The first one, just on the 2026 strategy, Dr. Paulksen. I note in the annual report, you break down how the strategy plays out at all existing segment and business unit levels. I was wondering, can we infer from this that you see the whole of Südzucker's portfolio today as core to delivering the strategy, or are there any business units that perhaps don't fit so naturally with a plant-based solutions focus and might have more natural owners? That's the first question. And just on the second one, again, kind of on the strategy, and appreciate you don't want to give long-term targets at this point, but I wondered if you could confirm whether, in your view, it's realistic to assume that the sugar business, with the further efficiency measures that you've alluded to, whether that business can sustainably generate return on capital employed ahead of cost of capital in the current EU regulatory sugar market structure, and based on your view of the long-term sugar supply and demand situation. That would be great. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for the question. Let me start with the different business units. I think it's a very fair question, and we had a look, and this was one of the part we brought together and saying, where's the common sense? Where's everything which fits together? And I have to say that within this strategy, all our main and core businesses are really fitting into what we are talking and what the strategy is. But there are some smaller business, some adjacent business, some shareholding from our side where we really have to think if this still fits long-term to what we want to achieve. So therefore, there will be a cleanup of our portfolio, but not on the core parts, but more on the smaller side parts where we will really have a second look and we will make this decision pretty soon. I think on top of that, we also will have a broader look outside. You have not asked this question, but we will also have a broader look outside. And with the figures mentioned by Thomas Kerbel, I think it will give us the headroom also to look for some investments which are supporting even further this new market segments we are looking at. So there will be a cleanup. Long-term targets, sugar business, can sugar business bring the capital employed? And I can also easily hand it over to Thomas Kerbel, and he will give you the answer. But I would say it is our target to get there. For sure it is, and we have takes a lot of measures in the past. We have made this restructuring. We have slimlined our administrative cost center. And we are working hard on doing even better in our commercial parts so that we are getting to the profitability we need. It is not an easy task to get there, but we are working hard to have also sugar delivering their capital costs for sure. But I can just hand over to
Nils. I can fully confirm that what Neil said. We are convinced with the current setup, with the current measurements we set, and after the corona pandemic with the high volatility, that midterm the sugar operations are able to cover capital costs.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone. The next question is from the line of Oliver Schwarz, Warburg Research. Your question, please.
Thank you for taking my questions. I will then ask them one by one. Firstly, you alluded to additional cost-saving measures that are currently implemented and will likely already result in a positive earnings contribution or lower costs, that is, in the current fiscal year. Could you please quantify the magnitude of those additional measures, the timing, and the related costs? That would be my first question.
Yeah, to your question, we announced the cost saving program for our factory closures 2 years ago with this 100 million euro. And from the phasing of that cost savings, we can say that one third kicked in 2020-21 fiscal year. And two-thirds will phase in 21-22, roughly. And in addition, we foresee additional 30 million euro measurements, which will kick in the next 2 years up to 22-23.
Okay, thank you for taking that question. Very clear. Secondly, if I take your cost savings number of 70 million euro from past restructuring measures, Mr. Kerbel, and add that to the results of the past fiscal year, I'm already at the lower end of your guidance range, despite you looking for a significant increase in profitability of the segment sugar. So basically a return to profitability also on the EBIT level. I know that you also hinted at or pointed us at lower earnings of the specialties part of the business, but that seems to be more than offset by the increase in sugar. So can you explain why at least the lower end of the guidance range seems to be, let's say, not taking into account any operational improvement apart from the positive effect of the savings?
First of all, to clarify the 70 million euro you mentioned, yeah, you put that on which fiscal?
Past fiscal year, so 2021.
Yeah, but as I explained, I said 1/3 of the cost savings of 90 to 100, yeah, we reached in 2021, yeah,
right.
And 2/3 in the current fiscal 21-22 as a starting point.
Yeah, but the overall number was 100, and 2/3 of that is 66 million euros. Isn't that correct?
Roughly, yeah, for the current fiscal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if I use the EBIT of the past fiscal year and put that, okay, I said 70, but it seems to be more likely to be 66 million euro. Well, mm-hmm. If I just add that to the EBIT of last year,
yeah,
compare that with the lower end of the guidance range, which is 300 to 400 million euro, I am already very close to the lower end of the guidance range. And
yeah.
My question is, with sugar, more than positive sugar results, more than offsetting the decline in most likely crop energies and specialty operation. Why is the lower end of the guidance range rather low? Is that conservatism, or am I missing something here?
No, it's absolutely right what you mentioned. Yeah. For the guidance 2021, we set a realistic, let me say, starting point with a midpoint of 350 million euro. And clearly we have certainly some influence from the pandemic, especially the first months of 21-22. We expect that these effects will phase out during the year, leading to normalization also of volumes, especially in sugar, in the starch business, etc. And so the current midpoint of 350 million euro is clearly a realistic one. And clearly to reach that midpoint, one of the main assumptions in the guidance is that we reach the underlying price assumption in our sugar segment starting for the next contract round from 1st October 2021 onwards.
Very clear. Thank you for that. And my last question for the time being would be, you just mentioned the annual contracts. Currently, the vast majority of your sugar volumes are locked in on contracts that are about to be renegotiated, by mid-year, and hence the impact of those price increases will be only felt in the second half of your fiscal year, and not in the, let's say, in even less than half of your fiscal year. Am I right to assume that you are going for very significant price increases to achieve that operating increase in operating results in the sugar segment, or is that mostly what you expect as an increase in earnings? Is that mostly attributable to the savings we just discussed?
Yeah, let me say it, several points. First of all, the cost savings we explained. Secondly, we assume a normal campaign, no idle costs for campaign 21. And third point, not a significant price increase. We said in the, let me say, guidance for sugar, a moderate price increase comparing sugar marketing year 21-22 against sugar marketing year 2021, a moderate one.
Thank you very much. Very clear. I go back into the line.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone.
That seems not to be the case. So we thank all of you. It seems like we had a full set of information here for you, guys. Oh, there's one last one coming in, maybe further, but Michael, please go ahead.
In the event you have it, and apologize if it has been asked and answered already, but just picking up on what you said, Mr. Kozel, on your underlying assumptions heading into the next fiscal year or sugar marketing year, that you are assuming normal campaign conditions. So I wonder whether you can update us on let's say, the current planting conditions out there. I mean, we had a very challenging start into the growing season with a lot of reseeding potentially in the primarily in France, but also some other regions in Germany have been affected. How can you assure basically that this all turns out as a normal let's say normal season with a normal campaign length? And if my memory is correct, I mean normal campaign length these days is 120 days for you. So this kind of underlying assumption. So what's needed in order to make it? Thank you.
Let me try to answer your question. So I think it's right what you have said. So there was a lot of obstacles for the farmers. There was frost. They had to re-sow certain areas. The main effect of this was in France, and it was in parts of France where it was not affecting Südzucker too much. It's a bit of affecting us, but really in a range which we always have to deal with year by year of around overall, including Germany and others, of about 3%. So that's not too much. France was a bit more; it was about 5% probably, but in general, not really a big thing. So we see at the moment the beets are growing pretty well. We have more or less the same amount of hectares than we had last year. Last year was affected by drought, pests, insects, and which didn't allow our farmers to have a reasonable yield. It was more an underperforming yield, so we are calculating just as an average one this time. So this all together gives us the confidence that we will increase our amount of beets and then with our experience also increase the amount of sugar out of the beets compared to what we had last year. But your assumption is right, but the effect to Südzucker is limited this time.
Good to hear. Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Sona Sodi MS. Your question, please.
Can't hear you?
We can't hear you. No?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can.
Yes, hi. Okay. Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, from Sohan Sodhi from Morgan Stanley. Just had a question on your credit ratings, the investment grade rating. It's very close to the edge in terms of whether being IG or high yield. So just wanted to get your sense. Is there anything that you would do proactively if required to maintain that investment grade ratings, or you have had any conversations with agencies given the outlook that you have provided today for the current fiscal year? Thank you.
Yeah, clearly the whole company is committed to keep the investment grade rating. We are at this level over the last 2 years at Standard & Poor's and Moody's. With a, let me say, support from, let me say, improved financial ratios for 2021 and a positive outlook for 2021-22 with a strong increase in profitability in all cash flow relevant ratios. We see, let me say, the current setup for our investment rating in a more safe haven than the last 2 years. So the peak is behind us. and we foresee, let me say, more positive momentum over the next quarters.
Okay, thank you.
We have a follow-up question from the line of Alex Sloan, Barclays. Your question, please.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking the follow-ups. Just two quick ones, hopefully. Just the first one on CapEx, obviously a relatively constrained level in the year just gone. I just wondered, you know, as we think about the kind of the strategy period out to 2026, is that sort of a level of CapEx sustainable, or, you know, to achieve some of the ambitions that you have, you know, particularly around like digitalization, is there going to be a requirement for some step up on investment on that front? And then just secondly, I mean, I appreciate fully that you know, your comments at the start of the presentation that the strategy hadn't yet sort of, you know, been kind of fully concluded, so you didn't want to give targets at this point. But would it be realistic to assume over the next, you know, 12 months that you might be in a position to give kind of longer term targets in terms of the, you know, the financial ambitions from this strategy? Thanks.
Yeah, thanks again. Starting with the last one, I have to admit, yes, this is something we should do, and I can confirm that we have discussed, and we are still in discussion and confirmation with our different divisions, what kind of growth we see out of this strategy. Of course, it's a growth strategy. I think this is what we can confirm. It's really coming on top of what we have planned so far. So therefore, we see the growth, and the different divisions are in the process to confirm how much it is, and therefore I think it's a realistic time frame to say in the next 12 months we should come with more concrete and clear views forward, also with financial impacts. CapEx, I think we mentioned it already a bit, but let me reconfirm. With the headroom we are getting now because of this improvement of our business, we have much more flexibility to go for investments. This might have an impact on CapEx because we are investing in either in capacity or in new investments for these new markets. And therefore, I think this current CapEx is based on what we believe is needed for the normal growth. But whatever comes on top, we have to decide how much we can put into the revised CapEx. On the other side, I have to say there is certain things we can just do with our current setup. So it's not that we always have to invest to do what we want to do. There are certain things we have already. We can just utilize it slightly different, or we can just extend it to one step further down the chain, and then we are getting there. So therefore, not everything we are doing needs a lot of additional CapEx.
Very clear. Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Oliver Schwarz, Warburg Research. Your question, please.
Thank you for taking my additional questions, gentlemen. The first one would be on raw materials. Sugar beets farmers received in the past top-up payments basically to keep them happy with their income from sugar beet farming, despite the low sugar prices that normally also translate in unattractive sugar beet prices. With prices rising both in the past fiscal year and in the current fiscal year, 21-22, prices increase or are expected to increase, will we see a reduction in those top-up payments, or are they basically from now on a part of what the sugar beet farmers will receive no matter where the price of sugar and hence profitability is? That would be my first question.
You're fully right. In the last two difficult years with extreme low sugar prices, we had to offer top-up to secure the beet deliveries, to utilize our capacities. With the price increases over the last two sugar marketing years and our forecast for October 2021, clearly sugar prices are going up, and via our formula also our prices will increase, first point. But sugar sales price is the one side of the coin. The other side of the coins are the alternative raw material prices like corn, like wheat, etc. And therefore, we have, as all other sugar factories, some pressure from that side, to make the beets more attractive. But to do that, let me say, the absolute numbers are clearly not so high. We assume that numbers we had to pay in the past. Yeah? But clearly, there is some risk when we are looking on the alternative routes.
Thank you. Second question would be more of the same in regards to the starch business. It seems like part of the expectation of a reduced margin in the specialties business is a reduced margin starch, which is basically triggered by higher selling prices of corn and wheat. Can you give us a bit more insight in how prices in starch are basically negotiated? Is that similar to what we have in sugar, when there's let's say a fixed timing for new contracts to kick in, and the vast majority of the contracts being on an annual basis, or is there more or less flexibility in starch? How does that business basically work? Because it is not a campaign business as sugar is. So there should be some, some differences between the two businesses. So I'm basically heading to, when will you be able to pass on higher or rising raw material costs on to the respective customers?
Yeah, clearly the time lag is not so big like in sugar, where we normally have this 1 year or the multi-year contract. In starch, we can say a big portion of contracts is made quarterly. Yeah, so the time lag is not so big in the starch business.
Okay, great. And lastly, I like to delve on the tax or on the tax issue. You said you didn't capitalize the deferred taxes, a tax asset that resulted from the loss in the sugar activities so far, Mr. Kölbl. I'm guessing once we go back into a higher profitability level where you make a positive income on an EBIT basis, obviously tax payments for sugar also will kick in. Will they be reduced for tax losses of the past once they kick in the positive results, or will there be a delay and some negotiation with the auditors when if that's a sustainable situation, and from when on those assets can be used to reduce the tax burden?
Clearly, when we are in the when we are confident, let me say it that way, when we are confident as management that we will have going forward, let me say, robust black profits in the sugar operations, then clearly we will account for these tax losses carry forward.
So it's basically a management decision when you start saving on tax.
Yeah, but looking on the midterm planning, etc. And clearly, we will have at the end of the day also discussions with the accountants. Clearly, but the first step is the management decision.
Very clear. Thank you very much.
There are no further questions at this time. I hand back to Nikolai Baltscherat for closing comments.
Thank you all for your questions and for participating in today's call. And we hope to see you soon, not just to hear, but also to see you soon. And if you have additional questions, just don't hesitate calling us. And so thank you, goodbye, and stay well. Bye-bye.